This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. The nightclub that was the New York incubator of punk rock is facing eviction. CBGB is still rocking the Bowery, once Manhattan's Skid Row, full of cheap hotels and industrial supply warehouses. Some of those are still there, but the neighborhood is changing. Within a block of CBGB, two new luxury condos have gone up in the last few years. Just to the west, high-end grocer Whole Foods is coming to Soho. CBGB is not the only club that's struggling to pay rent on the gentrifying Lower East Side. It's a familiar tale. Young, creative types move into a neighborhood, it becomes hip, rents go up, and the artists have to move out. But as Joel Rose of member station WHYY reports, CBGB may have brought some of its problems on itself.
The club's full name is CBGB and OMFUG, which stands for Country Bluegrass Blues and Other Music for Uplifting Gourmandizers. But owner Hilly Crystal says it wasn't long after he opened the club on the Bowery in 1973 that local rock bands came calling.
A lot of these kids had no place to do their own music. I put them in, hardly anybody came, and their amps would go on and off. It was a fiasco, but they all wanted to play. Of course, lo and behold, they did get better, didn't they?
CBGB helped break a lot of new bands in the 1970s and early 80s, including the Ramones, Blondie, and Talking Heads. Today the club is a New York City landmark. It's even featured in the promotional video the city produced to lure the 2012 Olympics to town. But the club's landlord says none of that excuses Hilly Crystal from paying the rent.
The great history that's here doesn't give Hilly a grant of immunity.
Lawrence Muzzy Rosenblatt is executive director of the Bowery Residents Committee. The BRC is not a commercial landlord, but a nonprofit that serves the homeless. It has 750 beds at facilities around the city. Above CBGB, it operates a 24-hour drop-in center where homeless people can get out of the cold for a few hours. The BRC employee screens visitors with a metal detector before they can come in. The BRC took over this building, which used to be a flophouse hotel 12 years ago. Rosenblatt says his legal battles with CBGB began in 2000, right after he became the committee's executive director. He says he discovered the club had been missing its rent payments for years.
You know, I'll be the first to admit that BRC is not an experienced professional commercial property manager. They're our only commercial tenant. So, you know, we could have done things a little bit better, but in the end, his obligation is clearly spelled out in the lease, including the exact amounts he's supposed to pay. And he just stopped paying.
The BRC took CBGB to court in 2001. Eventually, Hilly Crystal agreed to pay more than $200,000 in back rent. Both sides signed an agreement that Crystal would meet his obligations or face eviction. Then, a few weeks ago, the BRC noticed something else. Crystal had been paying rent, but he had not been keeping up with the automatic increases spelled out in the lease. Crystal says it was an honest mistake.
I've been paying the rent all this time. They never said, you didn't pay it. For 3 years, they didn't say we didn't pay it. Why are they saying this all right now, all of a sudden?
Crystal's lease expires in August, and he says the BRC wants to double his rent, a claim the committee denies. But his problems go beyond that. In 2003, CBGB failed a city safety inspection, and Crystal failed to let the BRC know about it, although he says he has made some improvements.
It was a dump in 1974, and it remains a dump. I'm happy to say.
Richard Hell was a member of Television, the first rock band to approach Crystal about playing at CBGB in 1974. He went on to play there dozens of times with his own band, the Voidoids. Hell says the club always had a first-rate sound system and a certain bohemian charm.
Charred, scotch-permeated wood with beer signs and neon leading from the door down to the stage. I'm really glad that I was always very drunk by the time they turned the lights on at 4 a.m. because you would not want to see that place with the lights on sober.
Still, he says CBGB and other clubs were the engines that first drove the neighborhood's gentrification.
It's impossible to, I think, overestimate how central it's been to the character of the place. But, you know, it's also ironic because it's made the place chic. And, you know, it looks as if apparently it's in danger of pricing the club itself out of the real estate market.
Hell still lives in the same East Village walk-up he rented 30 years ago. As we step outside and walk downtown toward CBGB, he notes how drastically the neighborhood has changed over the years.
I mean, it was really a desert when we started playing here. Derelict buildings and bars. No residences and no storefront operations, whether they be a purse store like this one we're standing in front of, just selling only fancy new purses, or the video store I see over there, or the delis. There were no delis.
Rising rent is a problem for a number of music venues in Greenwich Village and the Lower East Side. The jazz club Fez under Time Cafe will stop presenting music next Thursday after a performance by the group that opened the club in 1991, the Mingus Big Band. A few blocks away on the Lower East Side, the experimental jazz and rock club Tonic is also struggling to pay its bills. Co-owner Melissa Caruso Scott says her rent has doubled in the last 7 years, and she says her insurance bill has tripled since September 11, 2001. She says some music venues are picking up and moving on to cheaper neighborhoods in Brooklyn and beyond.
A lot of music venues are certainly in the outer boroughs now. It's more affordable And especially if you present less mainstream music, I think it'll become harder and harder to be in Manhattan.
Still, Caruso Scott says, not all of the changes are bad.
In general, there's just more life on the block, more people living on the block, and comfortable walking down it late at night by themselves, and no more rats. And so that's been a really nice change.
And as for CBGB, at least one part of Hilly Crystal's business is going well. Last year, he sold $2 million worth of T-shirts at the club and on the internet. Still, Crystal insists he can't afford to have his rent double.
I'm not getting millions of dollars from people. Yeah, the T-shirt business helps me now, but I can't afford that. If I kept up, I would be homeless and I'd be asking them for help.
Lawyers for Crystal and the Bowery Residence Committee are due in court Monday to talk about back rent. Neither side is ruling out a new lease, but the BRC says it won't negotiate until Crystal settles his debt. For NPR News, I'm Joel Rose.